It doesn't show on our staff and vendor presentations list. I apologize about that. We wanted to start with our treasurer, Bob Gauthier, talking about the overall city budget just to put things into perspective, and then we can start getting along with the department budgets. So as Bob's coming up to get ready for this, we've been working on this, obviously, for the last couple of months. Our previous comptroller has been in communication with our treasurer, our assistant comptroller, and me over the last few weeks working on and developing this budget. We started with preliminary budget development from our department heads. We sat down over the last few weeks and went over those budgets. What you're going to be presented with tonight is the first draft of that budget for public consumption. I need to stress that. There are still a lot of things that can potentially change with this budget, so this is our jumping off point, a point to start discussion. We have trimmed approximately $600,000 to $700,000 out of this budget that you'll see presented here broadly tonight to get it down to a what hopefully is a more reasonable starting point. And again, I think Bob will walk you through a few of the things that are unknowns out there and some things that are still going to remain dynamic over the next month or so as we try to get this narrowed down.
Set. Kind of like the city manager just went through, right now the general fund budget's just over $34 million. It's about 1% over last year. The gap, if we're not going to use any fund balance, is going to be about $560,000. So potentially, without using fund balance, you would have a tax increase of 5%. Basically, per household, with our rate about just over 11 per thousand, that constitutes about $112,000 per 1%, so that's the 5% total to get to cover the budget. This does keep us in compliance with the five-year plan that you guys have been following for years, but obviously potentially this could put us over the 2% cap, which once Mike finishes his tax assessor role, we'll be able to do the 2% and know exactly where that falls. But I'd anticipate if you stick with the 5%, you're going to go over the cap. Some of the changes you're going to see throughout the budget and the presentations, you can see up above here with Corporation Council and Engineering having personnel changes, which I'm sure they'll speak to more in more detail when they do it. Our unallocated salaries have decreased. You guys did a great job doing all the contracts and getting them all sealed up for 5 years. So there's a good decrease in that. I believe it's about $200,000 savings there. Same thing with code enforcement. City manager, there's going to be a personnel change between there and planning, which I'm sure they'll elaborate. I mean, if you want to speak on it now or you want to wait?
No, we'll get to it.
Okay. The health consortium, that continues to be a great savings. 2 years ago to the current year, we saved about $10,000, which, you know, it's better than going up. This current year budget to next year that you're going to be voting on it later in a couple months, it's about a $350,000 savings. So we're definitely trending in the right direction on that by joining the consortium. There's some increases in the transfer to other funds, which fluctuates year to year, but there's nothing too significant in there to really talk about. And of course, the contractual salary and wages increase, which is year to year, all based on the contracts that you guys just came to agreements on. This is back to the general fund. The revenues, like we talked about, the 5% increase will be about $560,000. You'll have to decide on a property tax cap if you want to go over that 2%. We have increased sales tax a little bit more than normal over the past few years, so about 2% or $172,000. I'll follow that for the next couple of months and see where we're trending even further, if we can increase it more or if we got to adjust that. The vacant building registry, I believe that's in the fifth year. Is that correct? Fifth year, Jeff? So there's some revenues in there, fire inspection fees, and a license grant. Here's some of the other budgets that each department head will speak to more in depth, but you have a decrease in the solid waste, the refuse collections up. The big one in the power utility fund is the Mill Street Dam is now coming on, and now we're taking on the debt payments for that. So it's the first year of that. So that's why you see this significant 28% increase there. The sewer fund balance with a small use of fund balance under $50,000 with no rate increases, which is good. Water fund did not have to use any fund balance and also no rate increases, which is good. Same thing, solid waste balance on the cash flow. Refuse collection was similar to sewer, used a small amount of fund balance, I believe it was under $50,000 with no fee changes. Power utility fund balanced on its own cash flow. It does take in general fund money, which is going to continue to do that for a while. The North Division Hydro is active since just the end of last year. And then the LFGA, I don't know if you want to speak on that, Jeff.
That's just our landfill gas, which you're all very aware of, and it's
you're all fine with that.
Still dormant.
That's it. I don't know if you guys have any questions, I mean, each department's going to get into it. If you have more questions, feel free to let myself or Jeff know. Yes.
What is the calculated tax cap this year?
That's what we're going to find out once we get the tax roll.
We don't know that yet?
No, not yet.
So
we anticipate it should be probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 2%, but we have some things internally that will impact that as well.
I mean, we'll get a rough estimate for you.
Okay, so every time we discuss this, we should know, we should have an updated number,
yes,
at least so that we can think about it or kind of wrap our heads around
it. Some other things that are going on, we had the revaluation this year. Those numbers are not final, so that'll have an impact on the overall impact of the budget on the tax rate. So those are things that as we're going through the next few weeks, as they start to firm up a little bit, we can start to zero in on some of these figures a little bit better.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Gother, you mentioned an increase in the vacant building registry fees. Do we know approximately what that increase is?
It's not going to be as much this year as it has been in the past. I believe last year was year five for a lot of them. So as time goes on, they all continue to go up, and there's obviously a five-year escalation that maxes out in the fifth year. Mm-hmm. So anything that comes on throughout the year or last year until they get to that fifth year, there's a slight escalation. I'll have to go back through the paperwork to get you what that actual number is. So.
And then you mentioned fire inspection fees. In an increase, are you recommending an increase in what we're charging?
No, there right now there are no recommended increases in fees except for, if you recall, a couple of years ago we had a discussion with the courts over the traffic penalties, or the parking penalties, I should say. We're hoping that the next step of that comes along. That was intended to be a step 2 years ago, and then 2 years later, which would be now another step. We're waiting for verification from the court on whether or not, because they are the ones that dictate whether or not that happens or not. We can suggest it, but they have to approve it. So that's out there. What you see for fire inspection fees is not an increase in the rate, but rather an increase in the number of inspections that are being performed by the fire department.
And the last question I have, you mentioned the general fund transfer to the power utility fund for the cogen. Can you just remind us what that amount is?
I believe it's $300,000.
Thank you.
Back to the list. Sorry about that.
That's
okay.
Let's try civil service again. Lori Turrell Butler, please, from Civil Service Commission.
Good
Good evening, everyone. My name is Lori Terrell Butler, and I'm with the Civil Service Commission. I've been a commissioner for just about 2 years now, and I've been asked to present our proposed budget for fiscal year 2018-2019. Joining me tonight is our commissioner and current chairperson, Jack Hardy, newly appointed Commissioner Trish Kerr, and our civil service clerk, Jeff Whiting. I'm going to be going through the slides and the data, but please feel free to direct your questions to any one of us four during the evening, and hopefully we'll be able to provide you with answers. I'm not sure if I remember how to do this. One click. You want to make a full screen?
Lori, go up to the top where it says slideshow. Up at the top line, very, very top.
This. This one? Okay, I'll use the arrow. Okay. All right. To begin this presentation, I'll give a basic definition for the record of what we do and who we serve. The Auburn Civil Service Commission administers civil service laws for the City of Auburn, Auburn Enlarged School District, and the Auburn Housing Authority. The Auburn Civil Service Commission consists of three part-time commissioners, who I've just introduced, and we are independent from our elected officials. Municipal commissioners are local officers, but act for the general public in carrying out the provisions of the New York State Civil Service Law and the local civil service rules. They are not an agent of the City of Auburn, the school district, or the Auburn Housing Authority. When people ask me what exactly do you do as a civil service commissioner, in general speaking, I say that we ensure the integrity of the hiring process, the promotion, and the working conditions of our public employees. And as you can see, we are a bare bones department with minimal operating expenses. $2,800 cover our supplies, services, travel, training, and professional development, and the fees that are mandated by New York State. Overall, our projected budget is down a little more than 2% from previous years, which is proof that our department has conducted business in the most fiscally responsible way. Does anyone have any questions about the numbers that were provided to me? Okay, a quick year in review, highlight the changes in service and accomplishments. You know, what exactly do we do throughout the year? First, I want to happy to welcome the appointment of Trish Kerr to fill the vacancy after Diane Gove's resignation. Trish has been great to work with. She's very engaged, level-headed, and like I said, a pleasure to work with on the commission. To date, 326 individuals have sat for 11 exams, both promotional and open competitive, with one additional exam scheduled for June of this year. And those exam fees collected have generated $6,805 in revenue to date. We have expanded the notification list that we use for exam announcements to reach as many candidates as we possibly can. Our current list includes all school districts in the county, all contiguous county offices, community centers, New York State Department of Labor, and also in addition of all 2- and 4-year colleges and universities within a 100-mile radius. With the help of Chief Butler and Deputy Chief Anthony, we started a community outreach program at the BTW last fall We held two of these successfully, and Commissioner Hardy represented the commission those evenings, as well as our clerk, Jeff Whiting, attended. We felt that it was really important to make the connection with our community and to educate certain pockets of the community that might be underserved and not understand the civil service process. So we started with the BTW and, like I said, held two sessions. We were there to answer questions about the process, distribute applications, help with completing applications, kind of pep talk on references and what we're looking for, and really, really made an attempt to diversify our candidate pool, particularly more women and minorities. As the face of our community changes, we really feel that it's important that the faces of our public employees change as well. And so that is something that I'm committed over the next 4 years to continue to pursue in diversifying our candidate pool. We would like to do this again, probably late spring, early summer, using a different location in the city. We've discussed CCC Community Room and possibly KC Park as other options to continue to get the word out there and attract as many people as we can to take our exams. We have creation of four new positions in this past year: Deputy Director of Community Planning and IT Systems Administrator, both for the City of Auburn, and a Network Administrator, two positions, and Director of Facilities, three, for the school district. And last but not least, we have adopted a more sustainable practice by transitioning to the paperless agenda that you currently use as well, switching to Granicus in hopes of being completely paperless by 2019. Right now, we're getting to learn how to maneuver, so we're using paper agenda and Granicus at the same time, but next year we hope to have it down. We're just going to completely eliminate the need for paper agenda. Our goals for 2018 and 19 are modest. Two out of three of them require funding. The first does not require funding, just energy. And again, we want to increase exposure of potential job opportunities by hosting additional community outreach and education events, which I had just discussed. Continuing to focus on diversifying our candidate pools and increasing our numbers. Additional training for our civil service clerk, Jeff. He is planning on attending a four-day boot camp this fall, which I believe is 4 days for three consecutive months. And we certainly support him in this venture and any desire he has to further his skills. He's been a great asset in the office. He has a great rapport with the state offices and staff. Anytime we need something investigated or have the state's opinion on something, he's right on top of it and gets back to us very quickly. So definitely support anything that he wants to do to further his knowledge in the civil service department. And last but not least, our wish list item, which we know was stricken from this year's budget, but I'll still mention it, in our hopes to consolidate to a digital records management system. There's a particular product that we have our eyes on. It's currently being used at the county level, and many counties in New York State have used it successfully. It's expensive. We understand the startup cost. Like it's our pie in the sky, but we really feel that it's needed to bring our civil service department into the 21st century.
May I interrupt?
You may.
Describe what your system is now, just to give us a contrast for keeping records in civil service.
Our system now, we use paper applications, which require people have to come into City Hall during business hours to obtain them. We will mail them for a fee. We use an antiquated roster card system that's been around for 80-some-odd years, where Jeff is to still enter manually all the information. Yeah, by using a typewriter.
Excuse me.
I have a slide, too, to show it. So.
Oh, I thought of it.
It's definitely time.
A lot of time. It's also security. What if, I don't know. The weather's been really weird lately, and those aren't secure, those records.
No.
I mean, as far as damage and things like that.
Right.
Anything could happen.
Right. And once they're gone, they're gone.
Yeah.
So in lieu of time, I can end this presentation right now, or I can continue to...
continue
to go through and tell you all about the reasons, the many benefits that this product would give to our department and the city overall.
I would like to talk about those benefits, and I'd like to know what the cost is.
Okay. All right. So, moving on. All right, the product that I had mentioned that we're interested in is called Discover eGov Solutions. It's a product created by an application development and website hosting company, almost local in Pittsford, New York, but in New York State, keeping the dollars in our state. It's in three parts. There's three platforms to the product that we would be interested in and be most beneficial. The first platform is the Civil Service Applicant Management System, which is in two parts. It creates an applicant portal, including online application and payment. The potential candidate has the ability to track their status and view test results once the exam is completed, all online. It would allow department heads to view the ability to review applications during the hiring process by logging in. Potential candidates would have access to receive automatic notification for new job postings through email blast to their accounts, an additional online posting of exams linked with the Department of Labor. The other component of this platform is the digital roster card system, which would help manage roster card records electronically and preferred lists and certify payroll. Currently, we use, like I said, a typewriter, and there's issues with antiquated equipment if it breaks. I've heard that they're having a difficult time even trying to purchase the replacement ribbon. And once all those products disappear from the market, we're really going to be forced to scramble and to do something that's more technological. And then the second platform to the product is the contract management system, creating digital pink sheets process, replacing our current four-copy form that we use. This would also give us an automated approval and e-signature benefit for commissioners. Very often things are time sensitive. All of us work other jobs, and this would allow us to do approvals remotely in more of a timely manner. And how else better to pitch a product but using visual aids? So here's a picture of my son muddling through a four-page paper application that we currently use. The elimination of the paper application, the applicant management system provides a simple way for prospective job candidates to view, register, and pay for an exam by creating a personal account. Again, they can view their test results and track the status online rather than waiting for the post office to deliver a letter. I can attest with not only being a parent with two currently in college, one college graduate, and a fourth will be entering college in just a couple of years with interest in engineering. As a working in higher ed, I work at Wells College for the past 4 years now. I can attest that our students today live in the digital world. right from the very beginning of their college experience, from the application to the acceptance notification, their enrollment process, their 4 years of instruction. Everything is electronic. They live entirely electronic. Textbooks are electronic. The way they submit their exams and their papers are all using web-based and cloud-based platforms. And then it comes time for graduation. And I really feel that there's a missed opportunity with us not having that technology to offer these young, educated college graduates that are coming out into the workplace, the workforce. If they can't complete an electronic application, we've already lost their interest. They just don't have the interest, and they're going to look elsewhere into industries that offer that technology to them. And again, I feel it's a missed opportunity. If we can't provide them with the mechanism of what they're accustomed to using to be successful, they're going to look for it elsewhere.
There it is.
Here's a picture of Jeff manually entering data on the roster, the old roster card system. Jeff does report that he spends anywhere from 8 to 10 hours a week out of a 35-hour work week just entering data to roster cards. Or certainly an electronic, a digital roster card system would increase the efficiency of the office, and it would also eliminate the cumbersome manual tasks and obsolete equipment like I had mentioned before.
Lori, are you saying you want to get rid of the pink slips?
We wouldn't get rid of the pink slips, but they would be replaced with a more streamlined process.
I fill out my first application. The city here in 72, and I know Billy was about a month ahead of me. But anywhere else in the world, you get a pink slip, you're done. In the city of Auburn, you're either getting promoted or a pay raise. And I apparently the pink slips were inexpensive at the time, and we just continued on. So,
right.
Thank you.
For every change, it creates four pieces of paper that have to be disseminated to different offices. Digitally speaking, that would be replaced, a much simpler method. And then lastly, the contract management solution. Again, this is the pink slip replacement, provides a paperless workflow, eliminating the need for copies, files, and storage of records, ultimately increasing productivity of staff, reduces the potential for delay and error, and reduces overhead, and is more sustainable. I'm missing some pages. Is this the one I sent you? Because I added.
That's one that, it's a different one. Shelley put
this. Yeah, I added a couple pages. All right, so we'll just do it. It was just the cost page. The system development and software startup cost is approximately $30,000, and this is based on a proposal given to Jeff in June of 2016. So I'm sure there's a slight increase in the past year and a half, but I did round up a little bit, so approximately $30,000. Ongoing management and application and hosting would be $475 a month, totaling $5,700 annually. And then tech support and additional programming and enhancements would be billed at $125 an hour, which is the average going rate. We have discussed the possibility or our interest in this product with Christina Selvick and the planning department. We know that there is grant money out there and available. It's just a case of making the decision and getting the support of council on whether or not we pursue that grant application. Currently, I have a client list that all currently use the same product: Albany County, Cayuga County, City of Ithaca, Jefferson County, Madison County, Monroe County, Onondaga County, Oswego, Otsego, Rockland, Schenectady, Tioga, Tompkins, and Yates County all use this product. Cayuga County has been using it for 2 years now. Can't say enough about how it has improved the way that they operate. And again, I really think that it's time. We need we're going to lose our young professionals that are just getting ready to graduate from college. We're going to lose them to other industries that offer the technologies that they're used to using. So it is time to bring our processes into the 21st century, increase the ease of sharing information, storing records, and attracting quality, qualified candidates. That's all I have.
That's pretty good.
So can we think about it?
Absolutely.
I'd like you to quantify just a little bit better the types of savings. And if I could get, what is the grant return? Of the people who apply for the grant, how many get the grant, right? So if everybody gets the grant, then we don't have any reason not to move forward. You know what I'm saying? But if 25% of the people that apply
are successful.
Right. Yeah, so that I would like to know the success rate on that specific grant for technology.
Sure.
And the grant only applies to the startup fees. It doesn't apply over time.
Probably not. I'm wondering if, Christina, do you have any more familiarity with what's out there currently, or do we really need to do more research? Okay. But we are committed to working with planning and Christina to find out what's available. I have done a little bit of grant writing in the past. I'd be happy to help Christina in whatever we need move this project forward.
So if we could make it a wash, right, mm-hmm. then there's no reason not to move forward. So that we just have to quantify it. We have to figure out, the man hours saved. The fact that our technology is going to be obsolete, that we can't replace that equipment is important as well. Mm-hmm. They're not making typewriters anymore. So
right.
So we do need to consider that as well. So all right, thank you.
Sure.
I just have a quick comment. I just want to mention that, I know my colleagues and I place a high importance on the Civil Service Commission and equitable hiring. And, I think I can speak for all of you that we appreciate the efforts of the commission in partnering with APD and that outreach to the community. I think about a year ago, I received some complaints about hiring practices,
mm-hmm.
and they were really misconceptions about hiring practices. People didn't even realize that you have to take a test for these jobs.
Correct.
So the education component is very important, and I appreciate the commission being committed to doing that. And while using Granicus also it saves money on paper and things, it also contributes to transparency because, the agendas are there,
mm-hmm.
and that's important to us too. So, thank you for embracing that as well.
Sure. E-government product would also increase transparency because it would allow data sharing through the departments without having to physically go to civil service. We've also discussed posting the certified lists online so that applicants can see where they rank as far as their candidacy is concerned. So this type of product would also contribute to more transparency. Go ahead.
I also like that, people looking for jobs could be on, if they sign up, they're in the system, mm-hmm. if you will, and that you would do email blasts. So I imagine there'd be checks as to what their interests are and whatnot. And
right.
As a vocational teacher, as a high school career and tech educator, I could foresee if something like this was instituted, I would be directing my students to, educate them about, civil service, and because they, part of what we do in at BOCES is teach them how to fill out applications. And when I first started, it was paper applications, and now, we have online simulation so that they're mm-hmm. used to doing that. But I think it's a step in the right direction, and I'm glad that you included this in your wish list, and we will see what else the other departments have in store for us. But it definitely seems like a worthwhile investment.
Sure.
Thank you.
I agree.
Thank you, Lori.
Anyone else? No. Did any of our commissioners want to say anything? Can I give you the opportunity? No? Okay. All right. Thank you.
So we had the financial department come back and get checked out here.
We're going to go over to the finance department, which consists of the treasurer's office, the accounting office, assessors, and central services. As you well know, probably all the departments, my office, we collect all the revenue and we're the custodian of all the cash. The comptroller's office is accounts payable, purchasing, payroll, and obviously our comptroller just does all the accounting. The assessor's office values all the property within the city and does the exemptions on the city property, which this year he's doing a reval, and exemptions on property is obviously a topic that comes up quite frequently and a lot today. The expenses on property acquired for taxes, that's the foreclosures, which I head up that with Corporation Counsel. Central services is our IT department, which is 1.5 people. That takes care of all our citywide technical services. Our operating budgets, for the most part, are pretty lean. It's mostly just salary and benefits for the most part. You'll see this year in the finance department, which is, again, my department, the accounting department, there's a slight considerable increase of 20% almost. That's our GASB 45 report that we have to do every 3 years. It's required by our audit and to do our financial report. That's roughly about $7,000, which is about the total increase there. The assessor's department, in contrast, is down overall 10, but 23% in their operating budgets. And the difference between the operating and the finance is it's basically, I should say, the operate part is all the non-salary and benefits part. And assessors obviously doing a reval this year. They don't have to do it next year or for a few years, so that's a decrease there. Central services, their increase is primarily for software. Munis is getting an update. They have a network that they got to do called a new network switch, which is basically, from what Linda says, is like the central services to keep everything together. It's like the...
What connects everything together.
Exactly. And that's very necessary, obviously. We're doing a Munis upgrade, and we're also purchasing a new cloud to make sure we get modernized. And right now, every day, one of my clerks go to the bank, they bring four large cassettes. We lock them in a safety deposit box. We bring them back. And this will put everything up on the web base, so it's all going to be out there and it'll be secure. So it's definitely a good investment there. Let's see. You have any questions, just let me know. The significant change is pretty much what I told you. The report is $6,000, but the assessor is not going to have any of the fees from the reval, and the central services are going to have those software upgrades, which I just discussed. There's not much, and that's about it. We're not going to have any real requests from you outside really what's necessary to do what the department does. If you have any questions, just let me know. Is that fast enough for you, Mayor?
I hope all of them are like
that's
this.
That's right. All right, that's it. Thank you.
Council, let's take about a 10-minute break, if we could, please. All right, 10 minutes.